Good morning.
That sounds better, man. You must be excited. Not to see me, but to be in the house of God, but that is the bonus as well. Yeah. To see me. The bonus is not God. Primarily the reason is to be here and to be in the presence of God and just to enjoy that. No better place. I always say that no better place on a Sunday morning than to be in the presence of God and with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your brother from another mother, but the same father. Amen. Huh? You've got the same. Blood of the same blood. God said, from the same blood He created all mankind on the earth. That's what X says. So welcome my brother from another mother. Clarence, thank you for ministering to us this morning. Let's give him a hand. You blessed us. And I'm always so blessed to see that whenever you're on Swakop, you just, you know, when you know when house is house or home is home, I don't know how to, yeah. I don't know, when we grew up, my grandma's house, we would walk in, open the fridge and ask her, what is there to eat, you know? And we'd start taking out food there and start preparing that because we felt this is home. We have the liberty to do that, you know? And I love it when people do it with us as well. What is there? Don't you have something? Make us a coffee. Don't wait for that person to offer the coffee. Ask him, hey, come on, give me a coffee. And but I think something that's beautiful about Clarence, and I really want to honor him, then whenever he's around, he just jumps in and he just ministers. He doesn't even ask permission. It's not needed because you're part of this house, you know. Just do that. Place, because God has placed in your heart. That's so such a blessing. Thank you so much, Clarence. Yeah. And Joe said to him, his car says registration number NK, but it's supposed to be NS, so I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's the first step there. Coming back to the roots, but the Lord bless you. Yeah, so we've got class today, so please pay attention. Today we're going to do some maths and a lot of other stuff. No, not maths today. We'll do some target shooting this morning. A lot of go. Now, I'm trying to recap on the last 5 weeks that we've done, and then we'll run into a last part of this love version. But before we go there, I just want to recap on this blue heart. Many of you have attended the series. Some of you missed some of that. I would recommend that you encourage you to download that or have a look on our internet, our website for the rest of the sermons if you missed some of that. But I'm just going to try and recap through a different angle or lens this morning on what we've been talking about the last 5 weeks about where is the love. Actually, I do this in the Afrikaans service with the English service in mind. This is standing for, the NO is for not an option, to non-negotiable. Okay, not an option, non-negotiable. And then you've got the I, the family, the spiritual family in the world. And here's the thing, let me just quickly share with you. You know, all of us sitting here this morning have certain non-negotiables. You know, I jokingly said, my non-negotiables on a Friday and a Saturday is I braai. Okay, it's a non-negotiable. So please, if you invite me on a Friday night, it must be a braai. Otherwise, I can't come. It's hard for me to go through a week without that, you know. I don't know. Is anybody that can identify with me with, nobody. Okay, but maybe some, you've got other non-negotiables. I don't know. Maybe you cheer for Manchester. Where's the guys that, any Manchester fans? No. Come on. Where's the, Liverpool. There's a Liverpool. Okay. It's a non-negotiable maybe. I don't know. We have certain things that we live according to those non-negotiables. In the natural, certain things that we do, our habits and all of that. And then we tend to walk through life through those lenses and do things according to that. And then Christ steps into our lives. And then certain non-negotiables become negotiables. And that was optional become non-optional. A lot of shifts that's taking place. Some of us, you were in the world and the non-negotiable is you had a drink with everything you did. That was like, we're going to party. And then Christ steps in to say, listen, we might have to talk about that. It becomes a negotiable. And it's the same with our spiritual, you know, lens. We live in this me and me. Me and me. Me and I. You know, you get born into this world and everything revolves around you. Actually, if you look at the mommy holding a little baby and they're all so fussed about this little one. And some people just never grow out of that stage because they like that attention. But somewhere in that phase, we all know that the baby needs to become a boy and eventually needs to become a man and needs to become a father, you know. And he needs to be weaned. But we meet our beautiful wife or husband. we find a family, maybe have children, and then we start living in that realm of our family. The sad thing is a lot of us live in that realm constantly, that we never move out of that realm. And I think that's what we were trying to say to one another in the last 5 weeks about the series, is that we're saying to one another, let's get out of that world. Let's express that love. Let's find an expression in different ways of connecting that into a world out there. So God places us in a family, but He places us as a family within a spiritual family. This morning we had to say goodbye to Vincent and Belinda as they're moving to Vandenberg, and it was truly for us, in a way, a sad moment as well, because we grew closer to one another, you know. And they're still there, but in a short while, Brenda's going to say goodbye to us as well, you know. It's never easy, because we get to know one another. You spend time with one another, especially in our cell groups and small groups, where I encourage people to get to that place where we really get to know one another's hearts, where we share one-on-one, where we see the other person's hearts, his intentions, and all of that. And that's why it's so beautiful when we get to that place in the family, where we can grow. And it's important that as a family, we do not just live for ourselves, but we live and we engage with our spiritual family. And engagement to me is not just, and I say it for the record so that we all understand, it's not just what we do here on a Sunday coming to you. I think there's a step further that we can take in order to engage further with our spiritual family, other than just attending a service on a Sunday morning. You've just seen a part, and I want to see so much more of you. And then as a spiritual family, we want to engage into a dying world out there and say, Lord, we want to give out the hope out there. You know, we're not building a shofar reign or kingdom here, but we're called to build the kingdom of God. And we are just one piece of the puzzle. There are so many more. And we've got one specific mandate, and we've got one specific way how we want to do that, and according to do what God has asked us to do. Interesting, I just read this past week about this whole thing about Solomon, that dedicated the temple. Whenever you have time, you can read that. It's interesting how many. I think he dedicated 120,000 or offered 120,000 sheep, just the offering, with the opening of that temple, with the dedication of the temple. And with our new church building looming at the background here, that we will soon share with you about that. We're waiting for our final stages to be approved, and we'll possibly do a recap on where we are, and then we'll relaunch that, and then hopefully, my prayer is that by this year still, we're going to dig our first foundations and start off. Yeah. But anyway, the scripture that I was reading there about Solomon, and I shared it with Nadia last night as well, it was so special to me, and I never saw it like that. He said that Solomon did everything that the Lord placed, or accomplished everything that the Lord has placed in his heart towards the dedication, or towards the temple. What a beautiful scripture. That God has placed, listen here, God has placed certain desires and things in your heart towards His kingdom, towards His house, that's maybe still unfulfilled. And I thought, God, I want to die that way. I want to die one day that people would be able to say He did everything that God has placed inside of His heart. Think about that. That's the way I want to die. I want to die empty. I say, God, I've given my everything. Every dream that You've given me to dream about Your kingdom, to dream about Your house, about Your people, I want to live that. I want to empty myself. And that's part of what we were doing here, is to activate us, to say, let's get into the world out there. Let's start going there. Let's enter into our neighborhoods. And we spoke about our neighborhoods. And if you haven't yet signed up, please, I encourage you. There's some forms at the back there. We'll send you a weekly tip and just encourage you to start praying for your neighborhood and take responsibility, spiritual responsibility for your neighborhood. We spoke about love is to know, about knowing the truth in order to live the truth. We spoke about love is to share. And we got some various, not just locally here, but we've got some other mission trips that we encourage you this year to attend. We're going to do the Korihas. They're actually right here. I just thought for a moment, they're actually there right now. So there are various such trips this year, which I believe that we can become part of in going and taking that first step of faith and say, God, I want to be part of what You're doing out there and sharing with that. And then also the one I didn't preach on, which I sensed the Holy Spirit wanted me just to step away about speaking. And actually, if there's one message that we were supposed to get out of that Sunday, not so much about why the order of things was so much different than the normal, it's about this one thing, is we need to start praying. If that is what you heard that day, then you heard God correctly, I believe, you know, individually, but also corporately, that God is taking us on a journey. And I'm really trusting God personally that we would, through this year, grow towards a place that we understand the value of corporate prayer, and that can get ourselves and humble ourselves to that place According to that scripture, 2 Chronicles 69, if my people who are called, my people, not those people, my people who are called by my name can humble themselves. Because I believe if we're not praying, it's just a form of pride. Because we're actually just saying to God, actually, we've got this one covered, Lord. That's the way it is. The more I walk with God, the longer I walk with God, the more I realize I need Him. The bigger the mountain, the bigger the giant. And you realize the smaller you become, the more you realize how you fall short of a lot of things that you realize you've got to spend more time on your knees. Because certain things you cannot change in the spiritual realm unless you enter through prayer. And I believe God is going to take us in that journey. And I really want to encourage you as we pray on Tuesdays and Wednesdays that you join us with that. And last week, Pastor Carl spoke about love is to care. So I want to encourage you that you look at that lens. But here's the thing what I was trying to say here. You know, when I became part of the family, certain things were shifted. For example, what I did on a Sunday morning became a non-negotiable, not an optional. You say we start optional or not optional, then optional, and God wants to move us through this place to, hey, this is not a negotiable to me anymore. What I do with my finances was optional or not optional. And when I felt like it, and if I feel like it, then God needs to move us to a place of, it's a non-negotiable. It's a sacred area. Recently, I spoke to our intercessors about this whole thing about our finances, that God wants us to realize what is sacred and what belongs to Him is sacred, that it becomes a non-negotiable. I'm sure we can carry on our time. God wants us to get to that place of, what is your non-negotiables? Through that lens this morning. And I can ask you this morning, give me your non-negotiables and I'll tell you where you are spiritually. Because those are the things that the enemy doesn't argue with us anymore. If you stand your ground, this is why the Bible says stand your ground, and they will flee. But if you keep the door open and it's negotiable, he'll continuously come and revisit that same area. The day you close that area in your life, whether it's finances, whether it's certain aspects in your relationship with God, when it becomes a non-negotiable, he'll knock there once, twice, third time, he'll say, no, I don't get any luck. I'll go and try and speak to this guy that we have a negotiation agreement. So if every now and then I can manage him, get him to do certain things that would take him off the road. So that was what we were talking about the last 5 weeks. I encourage you, please download it if you missed that. This morning, I'm going to do the typical movie thing. If you watch a movie, sometimes at the end, if you watch it till the end, you get that last bit of the movie that wasn't part of the movie, but the edited clips that they add onto it. You know, all the funny parts sometimes. Well, that's not the funny sermon this morning, so it's just that add-on, if I can put it. And I felt it appropriate this morning to continue on a little bit of this love subject. Not because it was Valentine's week this week, just purely because I sense God wanted me to continue in this whole thing. And I called it this morning radical love, because I believe radical love will move us to certain things, to do certain things that we wouldn't not necessarily do in the norm, that is not norm for society. And I was reading the last few weeks on during Kings and Samuel. I just love the Old Testament. I love the stories. I love what they're telling us about the people, all their failures, all their successes, and the lessons that we learn. And it's fairly easy to interpret when we read through their life stories and their successes and all of that. But here's the thing. I've been reading through David and Saul, and I've been reading books about them and about the whole transition and what has happened and what went wrong and all of that. But this time I read this whole story again, and then it got to that place when, take a few steps back. Israel wants a king, so they ask the Lord, or Samuel, can we have a king? Okay? You know that part of the story. So what's happening, God wanted to be the king, and then God says, give the people what they want. They select Saul, a man of God at that stage, and Saul starts with God, but he didn't end that well. Saul actually fell in sin. What happened is one day they were bringing an offering, and Saul did the same thing as we always do. We can't wait upon God. God is late. Or Samuel, that was represented, the prophet that was representing God, he had to almost say, he had the matches with him. Saul had the lighter and Samuel at the matches. And he said, well, if Samuel's not going to come, God is late, I'll rather do it myself. I got a nice lighter here, I can do it as well. I mean, it's anyway not so special. He's just a man that's just coming to light the fire, but he's representing something. And sometimes in life, we just can't wait, you know, because God is not coming through. So I'll just make my own plan, quickly sort this out. God, I got this one covered. And this time it didn't work out. So what happened is he sinned there. And then something happened in the spiritual realm. I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say right now. Samuel steps into the scene. He condemns this whole situation. He says to Saul, Saul, God has lifted this from you. He's taken away this kingdom through what you've done. In actual words, he didn't approve that. And he actually spoke that judgment, or he actually already declared that which was supposed, or that already took place in the spiritual realm right there. He said to Saul, Saul, the kingdom has been taken away from you. Now, if you know the story, you would know it didn't happen immediately. It took 13 years for that which Samuel said in the spiritual realm to actually manifest in the natural realm, which is so important here that we do not miss this. Because here's the thing. I believe in those 13 years, because what also happened is Samuel went to David and he said to David, David, you're the man after the selection process. He picks David, and then 13 years takes place. Now, there's two things that took place here, and God is the only one and the author and the one that's capable of doing two things at one. He used the same stick and he accomplished two different things. Sorry. He takes away the kingdom from Saul and he anoints David, but he declares that in the spiritual realm, although it's not been manifested in the natural realm. The implication it had for Saul is this. Saul was still king, and I believe that that was God's grace period for Saul. If you continue to read Saul's story, you would think that after these words from the prophet, that he would go back to his inner room and say, oh God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me, forgive me. I don't know about you. I'm not saying I'm that spiritual, but I'm trying to place myself in his shoes and say, God, I probably would have said, oh, please, Lord, please. But in actual fact, it just goes the opposite. Because Saul was still in the palace enjoying the blessings of God, enjoying the food of the king almost, and all the delicacies, while he hasn't got God's approval. Here's a real danger for us. If we continue to serve God according and the blessings we experience and see that as a sign of God's approval, you might miss God. Hear me. Because it's not about the blessings. The fact that we experience the blessings, the provision, it's not because you and I are great people. It's because God is good. God reigns upon all of us. He reigns upon the just and the unjust. And if I use the blessings, and it's great and beautiful, but that's not the sign of approval among my life. So many times people are being led by open and closed doors. I say to people, stop that. God uses that, but you need to be led by the Spirit of God. If you're continuing being led by open doors, can I just tell you, Satan can open doors as well. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit, by His voice, not by according to the blessings that we experience, because that's exactly what happened to Saul. Saul was in a grace period of his life for 13 years, experiencing the goodness of God, hoping that that would lead him to repentance, and it didn't do. On the other end of the spectrum, we have David. Listen to this. There was anointed, called, chosen, but it didn't take place. God, where are you? God, why? In actual fact, the reverse happened with him. God places a seed inside of him and says, you're going to be the next man. See you in 13 years' time. Do with that what you want to do. And in actual fact, it came raining upon him, hellfire and brimstone in a way. Because God wanted to shape the character of David so that eventually when this transition takes place, he'll be ready to carry that